go ahead and call the order. Go ahead and rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready, pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Commissioner Hart.
Here.
Commissioner Veal.
Here.
Chair Fowle.
Present.
Commissioner Mello is absent today.
Okay. Approval of minutes from the September 18th meeting. Any corrections to that? If not, I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Commissioner Hart moved. Commissioner Veal seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same. Minutes are approved as submitted. Any unscheduled appearances?
Wait a minute. We have the October 15th workshop minutes to approve.
Oh, whoops. Thank you. Read to the end. Minutes from the October 15th joint workshop. Which were so much better.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Veal.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Hart. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Let the record show. Approved as submitted. Any unscheduled appearances? Any conflicts to declare? I'm going to dismiss with the presentation of documents as let the record show no one other than staff, county employees, and commissioners are present in the room. The hearing protocol is in the agenda, and we will move right to new business. Agenda item one, Brunner Use Permit, UP2127. And by who's in the room, I'm going to assume Rachel's lead on this one.
Yes, unfortunately, we have quite a few people that weren't able to make it to this meeting, and I will be presenting all of the new business items today because of that. This is the Brunner Use Permit, and this is the last of our vacation rental use permits that was submitted under the prior code section. However, as part of this project, both the prior code and the new code were analyzed to determine if it met either of those requirements. So this is a use permit project that proposes to convert an existing single-family dwelling at 2026 Dietz Road into a vacation rental. The approximately 1,700 square foot house is located on an approximately 1.17 acre parcel that is within the sphere of influence of the city of Mount Shasta. The property is in a neighborhood that is zoned for rural residential agricultural uses. This project was received by staff on September 2nd of 2021, which was the last day prior to the start of the countywide 2.5 acre minimum parcel size moratorium. Although the countywide moratorium was not in effect at the time that the application was submitted, staff has found that it is inconsistent with the Siskiyou County Code Section 10-6.1502H10, which was in effect at the time that the application was submitted. This code section states, vacation rentals within the sphere of influence of the city of Mount Shasta shall only be allowed on parcels of 2.5 acres or greater. Additionally, approximately 2.5 years after the application was submitted, Ordinance 24-04 was approved, which repealed the vacation rental code that was in effect at the time the application was submitted and established Article 61 of the Siskiyou County Code to regulate vacation rentals. Article 61 continued the requirement that properties within the Mount Shasta area be a minimum of 2.5 acres. As the subject parcel is less than 2.5 acres, staff is recommending denial of this project. Staff is also recommending that this project be found statutorily exempt from CEQA pursuant to Section 15270A, which is specifically for projects which are disapproved. No public comments have been received regarding this project. However, luckily Janine checked her email just a few minutes ago and found that Ms. Brunner has submitted a comment. She doesn't specifically say that She wants it read. However, as we have no printing capabilities, I am happy to read it into the record if you should choose to do so.
I'll have you read it into the record at the time for additional project proponent.
Sounds good.
All right, any other staff, what's public safety?
Yeah.
Oh, did everybody get this? I-5 closed?
Yes.
Where?
At Edgewood.
From 11 in Oregon to yonder. Mm-hmm. It's open in this stretch. Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. We'll come back to the agenda. And so, no further staff comments. Does the commission have any questions of Rachel at this time, or do you want to wait until we close the hearing? Okay. All right. So then I will open the public hearing. And Rachel, if you would be so kind to read the project proponent's comments.
Sure.
Thank you.
And so this is from Ms. Brunner. She is the applicant for this project. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the Siskiyou Planning Commission. I submit to you a request for redress in the case of UP 2127, the application for short-term rental permit application. The lengthy process endured was at great expense to me, only to be informed telephonically by Rachel Jarob after nearly 3 years that someone at some point made a mistake on the location of my address, resulting in the planning department's recommendation for denial. The lack of due diligence on behalf of the planning department has led to a breach of contract on the part of the county, according to the agreement for indemnification entered into on 10/27/21, where in section 1, paragraph 1, applicant shall defend, indemnify, and hold harmless resulting from non-negligent involvement in the project. I submit to you today a request for redress for expenses incurred throughout the 3-year-plus application process due to clear negligence on the part of the county planning department. In August of 2021, after inquiries through both the City of Mount Shasta and the Siskiyou County Office of Development, it was determined by both aforementioned offices that the property at 2026 Dietz Road, Mount Shasta, California, 96067, was clearly in the county jurisdiction and an unincorporated area of Mount Shasta. I was advised by both of the aforementioned entities to apply through the county planning department for a short-term vacation rental permit rather than through the City of Mount Shasta.
Okay, hold on 1 second. The two parties she's referencing there were the City of Mount Shasta and...
She said Siskiyou County Office of Development. I'm guessing...
That's what piqued my interest.
I would guess it's a misunderstanding in community development.
Okay, all right, continue.
Okay, the following information is verifiable through email correspondence between employees of the Siskiyou County Planning Department and myself throughout the 3-plus-year process of approval set forth by said entity. 9/2/21, the application for short-term rental permit was received and noted as complete by the county in advance of the county cutoff date for the prerequisite of 2.5 acres, sender Diane Johnson. 10/27/21, contract approved by council. Agreement for indemnification including precise project location signed by all in 11/16/21, sender Janine Rowe. 8/16/22, zoning inquiry map, summary of proposal, precise location, and APN number. Sender, Diane Johnson. 8/16/22, UP2127 environmental health action application accepted and approved. Sender, Diane Johnson. 8/25/22, building inspection. You will need to get your property reinspected after non-conforming items corrected in order to receive permit. Sender, Rachel Jarob. These and a sundry of other emails received from the County Planning Department led to the expenditure of what to me is a hefty magnitude of monies spent in good faith to receive the approved permit after complying with all dictates put forth in writing on behalf of the county. I accept that a mistake was made and that precedent was set for a sphere of influence 2 years prior to my application. However, I do, however, have great difficulty reconciling the 3-plus year of this continued mistake and the continued demand for compliance and monies due. any inspections done by the county was done not he county dime, because the county made the mistake as to my address. They proceeded with inspections without performing due diligence to ensure my address falls under county jurisdiction. Thank you for your, I think it's a typo, it's TIEA, probably time and attention in this matter. Sincerely, Holly Brenner.
Okay. We may come back to that. Any further comments by proponents? Any opponents? The iPhone up there is, do we know who that
I
is?
I don't know, but Ms. Brenner was informed that due to only doing remote listening on Zoom, she would not be able to speak, so
okay.
I don't know if that's her.
All right, so it's not another county person?
I have no idea who it
okay.
is.
Okay, well, if it was county, I was, because we've got Haley and Bill up there, so.
Yeah, I don't know who
okay.
the iPhone
all
is.
Right. So audience is empty. We will go ahead and close the public hearing and bring it to the commission. Who would like to start?
How?
Yeah.
Because this project started 3 years ago, and she knew from the outset that it didn't meet the requirement for partial silence. Was she led to believe that as long as she went through all these processes, that she would get approved? Who or what, how did the ball get dropped?
So if you look at the staff packet that you were given, there is a time frame. It's Exhibit C. And she submitted this project the day before the countywide 2.5 acre minimum parcel size went into effect. However, since she's in the sphere of influence of the city of Mount Shasta, the requirement for that parcel to be 2.5 acres went into effect about 2 years prior to her application being submitted. And it wasn't caught on our end that she was in the sphere of influence, because that's not something that our permit tech typically looked at that time. Subsequent to that application being submitted, once we got a few of these applications and that people were trying to submit, we realized that there was an issue. However, this particular project happened to have a code enforcement case ongoing, so it wasn't something that unfortunately we looked at in great detail, because she had to get her code enforcement stuff into compliance before we started working on it. And as soon as I started working on it, I realized that she was in the sphere of influence and she did not meet the minimum parcel size requirement because of her location, and she was informed. She was given the option to choose to, I stopped working on it at that point, called her and let her know, and informed her that I would have to recommend denial if she proceeded because she didn't meet the minimum parcel size. They gave her a few options, including choosing to cancel and request a refund at that point, choosing to continue the meeting to a future date to give her time to decide, or continuing to move forward with a project. It was the July date that this project was originally scheduled and where we would recommend denial. She never got back to me on what she wanted, so we continued it. And it wasn't until a month or two ago that we still haven't heard from her, and we sent a cancellation notice giving her 30 days to respond. And that, for this particular project, was the third time we've sent a cancellation notice due to lack of response. And this was the third time, and a few days before the end of her 30-day deadline, she said that she wanted to take it to you guys to plead her case, as it may be. And so I said that I would schedule it for this meeting and we would move forward.
What was the code enforcement issue?
The code enforcement issue was that our code enforcement officer just happened to be in the neighborhood, and he saw construction of a brand new deck on the building, and when he made inquiries about it, there was no permit. She was contacted, and I actually I have some communications and some photos if you're interested in seeing them. The deck, I can bring it over here. This is the day that the inspector, the code enforcement officer, drove by and looked at it, and a brand new deck. And when she was contacted, she said it was because the building inspection that was done on the property said that she needed to, I don't remember the specific wording, but the building inspection report stated that she had a loose railing that needed to be fixed. And so that was why she told the code enforcement officer that she was doing this. And he said, you're not fixing a railing. You know, I talked to the building inspector, and he said that the items that you needed to do were not stuff that required a building permit. However, you're replacing structural members of this deck. You have to get a building permit. You have to get an engineer. So it is my guess that a lot of the expense and time that she's referring to in her email, she's relating to this issue, which is actually separate from the code enforcement or from the planning side of things, because we don't move forward on planning projects if there's an active code enforcement violation that needs to be rectified, unless moving forward on the project actually rectifies it. Or if they needed a permit for something and they, you know, don't have one, then yes, we would move forward. But this is a deck that she rebuilt in its entirety, it looks like, based off of the code enforcement officer's photos. It wasn't just tightening up the railing that was mentioned in the building inspection report, which I believe the inspection report is in the staff.
It's in our report. Yeah, it just said loose railing.
Yeah. So so that's my guess, is that a lot of the money that she spent on this project is because of this deck. Otherwise, it would have just been the normal building use permit application fees, and then.
And what are the for a use permit on a vacation rental? The fee to submit to the county is?
Janine, do you happen to know? Because I honestly don't know. I don't deal with the money side of things.
It's like roughly around $1,400, I believe, because it includes the inspections for building and environmental health. Well, no, that's first, and then the planning stuff is in addition to that, and that includes county council review and CEQA review and... I honestly don't remember all the minutes. Around $1,400, I believe.
Give that or sounds take. About right.
Yeah, the baseline is $1,200, and then there's inspections by environmental health that are necessary or building, and that's tacked on top of that.
Could you go back to, she submitted an application on a certain date, and then what happened the next day?
I'm sorry, she submitted an application what?
She submitted her application. And then the next day, something went into effect.
So the next day, the countywide 2.5 acre minimum parcel size went into effect. So we had a few people who submitted applications for vacation rentals in the Mount Shasta area that were within the sphere of influence. So they did not qualify for that exception to the 2.5 acre because they were already under that minimum parcel size requirement.
All right. So. I'm just looking at protocol. If an application is submitted before, that's put into effect. Does that trigger any kind of legal threshold where she's already in the door and you have to process it?
Yes, it was, and we were honoring that, but there are two issues.
Right.
So the unincorporated area of the county was bringing forward...
Anything.
In South County, bringing forward a 2.5 acre minimum.
Right.
Right. She beat that deadline, got in prior to that.
Okay. So that's
however,
sphere.
She was in the Mount Shasta sphere of influence, which already had in place a 2.5 acre minimum.
We've
dealt
with this.
But before the county adopted that, what's the legal threshold of her getting that application in
and where the county was located?
Approved?
Where she was located, she should have been notified. Being in the sphere of influence, she was too small.
So,
but that's not what I'm asking. What I'm asking is, I'm looking at this legally. That's mm-hmm. County Council chime in and correct me because I'm probably going down a trail I shouldn't be going down. You got the city of Mount Shasta, sphere of influence. The the county didn't put it into our regulation, what we have to do. She got her application in the day before. Did that then give this application the right to proceed ahead because it wasn't in place yet when she put her application in?
Yes.
And she did, but we still have the city of Mount Shasta out here, which the county hadn't recognized legally yet.
So the 2.5 acre minimum for the sphere of influence of Mount Shasta was codified in 2019. So it was in county code at the time that she submitted her application.
So why didn't the application just tell her no?
Because that's not something that our permit tech checked for. Because we had a whole bunch of people who were less than that 2.5 acres submitting their application to try to beat that clock for the county-wide 2.5 acre.
Right.
So unfortunately, that's not something that she checked for. However, it is something that's in code that, you know, an applicant could have reviewed that and
Oh, absolutely.
No.
It seems to me that she proceeded ahead with thinking that she'd be able to get through the system. And I'm just guessing here.
When was she notified that the sphere of influence minimum applied to the project?
That is something I believe I put in the timeline.
Well, I was looking because there's a...
It was July 8th of 2024 that she was notified.
Oh, of this year. So
yeah.
Not in 23, not in 22.
No.
It wasn't until 24?
No, she had been working on her DEC code enforcement issues in 22 and 23, and it wasn't until she notified me or planning, I'm not sure if it was me in particular, on May 8th of 2024 that she had finally passed inspection of her DEC, which resolved the code enforcement issues. So it had been on hold for about a year and a half due to the code enforcement issues.
So staff had taken this project as submitted, and when there was a code enforcement action, the project got set aside until all of that was cleared up before any staff ever looked at it again.
So there was some action that was done prior to code enforcement noticing the unpermitted deck construction, and it was the standard stuff like the indemnification agreement, right to farm. She passed her well microbiological examination, stuff like that. Because she would have the unpermitted deck work, it was at that time that nothing happened on this project as far as the planning department was concerned until after she finalized her inspection and passed it for the unpermitted deck work.
Did she increase the size of the deck when she...
I'm sorry?
Did she increase the size of the deck or was it...
I don't know.
Yeah. But that's not the issue.
No, it was the fact that she was doing more repair on it than what she could do without getting a permit.
I mean, I didn't realize.
You can see the photos. It's brand new wood all the way through, including the support structures.
Through the chair?
Yes.
I might suggest that we move forward with approval or disapproval of the permit, and perhaps take direction from the planning commission and yourself to consult with county council on this issue and see if there's a resolution.
So postpone it or good?
No, not postpone. Either approve or deny, but then through that motion, have a recommendation that planning staff meet with county council for potential steps forward to rectify the request for refund. I guess that's what I'm trying to wrap in my mind.
Determine if it's warranted or not.
Yeah.
The refund.
Yeah. I'm
Refund on what? The permit application?
On the permit application. Yeah, it would be only the fee.
The permit he is done.
No, absolutely not. I'm just looking at the permit fee itself. And, you know, I went through the timeline a couple times, and the question I had was why doesn't someone staff-wise take a look to see when the application, any application comes in on day one to make sure that it checks all the precursory requirements. Now, I understand staff has a process. Here's a checklist of what the project proponent needs to do to make the proposal complete. And when the inspector went out, there were issues. I get project gets set aside until those issues are resolved. Then we'll come back and start looking at your project. We're going to deal with the project since we're short staffed. The projects that are complete, we're going to move forward with those first and foremost. And so and I see where there are multiple cancellation notices sent. Took a long time just to get the water taken care of. Took along 2 years to get a building permit. It also takes due diligence on the end of the proponent as well. And I don't see that.
And as Senior Planner Jira mentioned, she was offered the opportunity to have that refunded. The application.
That was her call, so that's her
mistake.
Yeah,
just to clarify that. So
yeah.
That's why I would like County Council to review it.
Right, because to me, at the outset.
So you recommend we deny it and then have County Council review it?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't, it's out of compliance. It doesn't meet the minimum for under sphere of influence, so we have no choice.
The project right then.
Yeah.
When it was first submitted on the 21st?
Correct.
Or on 2021, September 2nd.
Not 2019.
I mean, that's the first thing right there.
Yeah.
Boom, project, no go. And that just stopped her right there. She wouldn't even have to write a check for a fee to proceed ahead.
And she was noticed, I thought I heard you say, Rachel, that it wasn't in compliance with sphere of influence.
That
and
was
given an option to request a refund.
Yeah, so that was July 8th of 2024. If you look at the Exhibit C,
mm-hmm.
Options given were have the project heard during Planning Commission, at which time staff would recommend denial, request cancellation of the project, and request a refund should any monies remain from the original application fee, or request continuance of the project to allow time to decide.
Right, so back in July, and she opted not to do that. I remember we continued it in July.
She didn't respond. I ended up, after I didn't hear from her, I told her that I sent her an email saying that I was continuing it since I hadn't heard from her and it would give her time to decide. We still did not hear from her, and on September 27th, we sent a 30-day cancellation notice, and then a few days before the expiration of that 30 days, she stated that she wanted to speak with the Planning Commission regarding this project. Just through the chair, it appears that Ms. Brunner has been chatting through the Zoom function. I don't know if you would like for me to read what she has stated or if that's not appropriate since it's listening only.
I've closed the hearing.
Okay.
And as commission, mm-hmm. one thing that we do have purview over is to approve or deny.
Okay.
And it clearly is within the sphere of influence. It does not meet the minimum acreage. The issue of refund or no refund for the application fee, that is up to council and planning department to work that out. That is not our purview. We don't deal with the finances. Is the project legal or not? Does it meet the code or doesn't it? So I would entertain a motion on this project one way or the other, gentlemen.
I'll do it if you want. I move that we adopt resolution PC 2024
2022-012, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, denying the Bruner use permit, UP-21-27, and determining the project exempt from CEQA.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Properly moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same. Let the record show, 3 in the affirmative, with 1 commissioner absent. The denial motion passes. And Mr. Dean is directed to meet with council to discuss the issue of refund of application fee. Moving on to item new business number 2. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's the Yoakum use permit, UP-2413. And Rachel, you're back up again.
Yep. This is a use permit that proposes construction of a pole barn for storage of lumber and a portable sawmill, and the project would also include occupancy of a small cabin, a Quonset hut, and corrals for use in timber management operations consistent with the TPZ district. Timber processing by portable sawmills and construction and occupancy of structures for timber management purposes are permitted uses in the TPZ district. The project site is a 140.8-acre parcel northwest of Fort Jones along Scott River Road. The parcel is zoned TPZ and adjacent parcels are zoned Prime Ag and Rural Residential. The property directly north of the parcel is managed by the U.S. Klamath National Forest. The property is developed with a small cabin, Quonset hut, corrals, a water well, and septic. The project is consistent with the general plan and zoning for the area, and it is proposed to be exempt from CEQA per section 15303, as it is construction of a new building and conversion of existing buildings from one use to another, and there are no unusual circumstances or future activities which might reasonably result in this project having a significant effect on the environment. No public comments were received at the time the staff report was written, and staff recommends adopting the categorical exemption and approving the use permit for this project. There is a suggested motion in the packet.
All right. Any further comments by county staff? Okay. No further reports. We'll open the public hearing. Proponent? Opponent? Rebuttal? Close public hearing. Commissioners, I do have a question, but I'll wait for you.
So I can understand the permit needed for the building, for the pole barn, but is that, do you need a permit for the mill work that's going to go on?
Yeah, so in the TPZ zoning district, it's it actually is pretty restrictive as to what you can do, and I'll see if I can't get to it real quick so I can bring it up on the screen for you guys. It requires not only that you get a permit for the building, but you actually have to have a use permit to occupy the buildings. It's kind of an interesting language on there. So let me bring it over to the screen for you. So I don't know if you guys can see that. Let me see if I can zoom in. Okay, so it has uses that are permitted, but then under conditional uses permitted, timber processing by portable facilities, wood processing and manufacturing, and then if you go down here to G, the construction and or occupancy of any building structure or other facility constructed and or occupied consistent with and pursuant to the uses permitted in the TPZ. So you have to have a use permit to occupy a building in TPZ.
But that portable mill could go out into the field, go out into the forest and operate without a permit, right?
I'm sorry, say it again?
You could take that portable mill out into the forest and operate out in the forest without a permit.
No. So timber processing by portable facilities requires a use permit.
Hmm. What?
Yeah.
Even if it's for your own use?
On TPZ.
On TPZ. This is TPZ.
That's the thing. And, okay, because that was my question, because I know several others that are operating, but then I'm thinking none of those are located on TPZ.
TPZ is very restrictive.
Et cetera. And this entire parcel, though, is zoned TPZ.
It's TPZ and then...
I thought I saw...
TPZ B80. So yeah, the main use is TPZ and then it has an 80-acre minimum parcel size on a portion of it.
Okay. Yeah, there wasn't any... Well... Okay, so here's where my question came in. We've got county has its own TPZ and TPB, whatever.
Yeah.
Timber. Under the Scott Valley now, the southern portion of this parcel is Prime Ag and Ag 2.
So the Scott Valley area plan, this was a project that wasn't mine, but the planner has Prime Ag, deer wintering, and excessive slope as being the...
Right, and where that excessive slope area, right before it heads up, there's a sliver there that actually colored in the plan is actually in Ag 2. And looking at where the location of the cabin, the Quonset, and the proposed pole barn are going, according even to the staff report, looks like it falls in that Prime Ag area that appears on the Scott Valley plan. And so my question, are we sure that the county zoning for that parcel is accurate, that the entire parcel is indeed TPZ, or is there a portion that is a pre-existing, non-conforming Prime Ag, Ag 2 on the parcel, but since it's under the acreage for that zoning, it simply got lumped in as TPZ.
So there's actually a note under zoning consistency, which looks like page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 maybe. It's under analysis, under zoning zoning consistency under analysis. And what it has, actually, no, it's not under that section. Hold on, sorry. I was rereading. There's a section talking about this exact issue. And let me find it for you. Okay. It's on the bottom page of page 3. Under background, and it states on January 10th, 1978, the subject property was placed into TPZ. However, in 1986, due to administrative error, the property was mistakenly mapped as rural residential and prime ag during the adoption of the Scott Valley Zone Plan. In 1988, the Board of Supervisors corrected the error and initiated a zone plan modification, placing the property back into TPZ.
Okay, so the map I'm looking at in the plan that I have, my hard copy, that was done. That's why part of this parcel shows Prime Ag Ag 2. Then after the plan was adopted, this planning commission noticed error, did a zone change to turn it all TPZ, supervisors approved it. That's why we are where we are and why the colors don't match.
That's my understanding.
Okay, because I was scratching my head. I was like, why in the heck are we requiring a permit when the location of this is on ag, which you will need a permit on? Okay, that makes sense then. I have no further questions. I'm fine with this.
If he sells the material, the lumber off of that property, does it require another permit?
A business license?
Hush up.
What? So the answer is what? No? Yes?
Well, it'll all be tied to the timber harvest plan.
What's that?
It'll be tied to the timber management plan.
Yeah, the TMP. Yeah. It's all based on TMP. And there are certain amounts that you can sell off your place, trade with no issue based on your TMP.
TMP, standing for?
Timber Management Plan.
Okay.
So what about importing logs onto the property? Is that covered in this?
It's not proposed at this time.
It's not proposed. Most likely, it's an individual who may be involved in a logging endeavor. And there's no value in some of the logs. Some of the logs show up there that are decent. They're able to mill them and...
Well, I think it's a good idea. I think that's...
Yeah, I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah, because there's a lot of timber out there that's going to waste.
Got to find something good to do with it.
So if it's processed lumber, what about firewood? How many firewood lots we got running around this county? I found four more in the last month.
Well, it's wintertime.
No, I mean, these are major operations. A major operation. When you're running a 966 with forks,
yeah. Yes,
you got all the equipment to chop it and stack it and dump it.
Yeah.
I know exactly where it is.
Well, I saw one Sunday I never knew was there. Not 5 miles from town here.
Hey, they're putting value into something.
No, I didn't have any problem with it. I just,
yeah.
You know, I'll shut up.
I'd rather have them do that than growing half the grass. Okay, I'd entertain a motion.
I move that we adopt resolution PC2024-027, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, approving the Yoakum Use Permit UP2413 and determining the project exempt from CEQA.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Hart, seconded by Commissioner Veal. Any further discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Let the record show. Three in the affirmative with one absent. New business agenda item number three. Pine Place Road setback exception request. And it's exception, not exemption.
Exception.
Exception. That's a mouthful. SP2404.
Yes, ready?
Ms. Jarrett, all yours.
This project proposes an exception to the requirement for a 50-foot setback from the center line of Pine Place Road and Happy Camp. Due to Pine Place Road being a 40-foot wide road, a 50-foot setback from the center line of the road right-of-way encroaches onto the adjacent private properties by 30 feet. Subsequent to the Slater fire, the small parcel sizes of many of the properties along Pine Place Road combined with the setback requirements may inhibit rebuilding efforts. Therefore, the setback exception is proposed in order to increase the buildable area within the parcels. Approval of the setback exception by both the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors is required pursuant to Siskiyou County Code Section 10-3.03B. Should the setback exception pass, a 20-foot setback from the property line facing the road, which is under Siskiyou County Code 10-3.03A, and a 25-foot setback as shown on the recorded subdivision map would remain. Staff recommends that this project be determined exempt from CEQA pursuant to Section 15305 of CEQA guidelines. Class 5 exemptions consist of minor alterations in land use limitations which do not result in any changes in land use or density. No public comments have been received regarding this project. Staff recommends approval, and there's a suggested motion in the packet.
Any further communication from county staff? Okay, go ahead and open the hearing. Proponents. And this is interesting. The proponent, I guess, is the county. It's not the state, it's the county because it's
yes, the
a county.
Yes, the county on behalf of the property owner there.
Okay, yeah, okay. Opponents, rebuttal, and we'll close the hearing. I'll let you two gentlemen go. I've got a couple questions here.
Yeah, I've got no problem with it. They're just replacing the houses they had burned up.
Yeah.
Coming back where they belong.
So here's my, here are my questions. Is there a similar exception in place for Sawyers and Cecil?
Not that I'm aware of.
Because there is, the road is only 10 feet wide.
Yeah.
And there is a building, a church specifically, that's within 4.5 feet of the road. I guess this road here is already over 3 times the width of Cecilville Road. And why are we maintaining a 25-foot when if we've got a 40-foot road, why not go a 5-foot, which would be 25 off center? Because most county roads are 25 off center.
They're 30.
Scott Valley.
Maybe in Scott Valley, but the rest
right.
of the county.
Right, I'm just looking where I drive. Uh-huh. A lot of them are just 25. Some of them are 30. I'll grant you that.
So,
but it's 25 off center, not 25 off the edge. And looking at the map or the drawings that were submitted here, I'm looking, this is, we're basically looking at 45 foot off center.
So there are multiple setbacks within our code. This is one specific to the public roads or roads dedicated to public right of way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been in code for several decades now that it's 50 foot from the center line of the road, which as you saw in the drawing, you're gonna have, you know, some of it in the roadway itself, and then, you know, with a 60-foot road, which is the standard for many decades now, it's been the standard for new roads that it be a minimum of 60 feet wide for public roads. And so you end up with the 30 feet in the roadway itself, and then the 20 feet on the property, which matches what most zoning setbacks are for our county, which is 20 feet from the front of the property. So in this particular case, we have a third little wrinkle in that this subdivision was created prior to the setback requirements. And so they put in a 25-foot setback that was actually recorded on this subdivision map. So if both Planning Commission and the board agree to negate the 50-foot centerline exception or setback requirement, then they would be down to 25 feet. And there is a process that they can get rid of that 25 feet. And then if they still need to go closer than 20 feet, which is what would be left if they got rid of the 50 foot from the center line, and if they got rid of the 25 foot front building setback, then they would be left with 20 feet. And then they would have a process that they would have to go through in order to get rid of, or at least have a variance to the 20-foot setback, should it be approved.
Okay.
So this is just step one in multiple processes.
And I'm trying to make this as simple as possible for all affected parties. My next question. This road, Pine Place, the staff report says the county owns it.
Correct.
So this is not a case where the property owner owns it and there's an easement for the county road.
Correct.
We outright, as Siskiyou County, own this road.
It's a fee parcel and we own it, correct.
Okay, so it's not like East Callahan and East Side Road in Scott Valley where the county just has an easement.
Correct.
Okay. Next question. I hear all of your step one, step two, step three. Is there anything preventing us today from saving the county and I'm assuming multiple property owners time and just flat out saying, hey, we've got a 40 foot wide road right away. We're only being asked to to reduce it by 5 feet from a 50 to basically 45. Is there anything saying we couldn't just flat out say, you know what?
That's not the project that's been advertised.
I know it's not the project that's been advertised, but we are, as a body, can come up with findings to justify a different... Why require the county to expend more dollars to come back before us again to take another five? Why not just do it right now?
Then the county needs to come back, table this, and come back with a modified project that covers exactly what you want to do.
So, unfortunately, there's different processes that have to happen for the different zoning setbacks. For the county road setback, for this particular one, we are only requesting the 50-foot center line. If the Planning Commission wants us to also address the 20-foot setback, we would need to come back after getting a comment from Public Works, because that's something that they would have to take a look at. To see, if you look in the staff report, I asked them some very specific questions in order to make the findings. And if Pine Place Court will likely be expanded in the future, if an exception to the setback requirement would be detrimental to future circulation, if an exception to the setback requirement would result in any hazards regarding vehicular, pedestrian, or cyclist safety, or any additional comment. So they were specifically asked for comments regarding removing of the 50 foot from the center line setback, not the 20. So I would need to go back and get comments from the 20. However, the building setback line, which is the 25 foot that is mapped, that actually has to go through a certificate of correction process, which is not
building.
Even...
Building, I'm not concerned with it as far as structure, but I'm thinking, you know, a fence or whatnot.
So fences are something that can be built in the setback. It's something that is exempt from the setback requirement.
What triggered this?
It, as long as it's an open fence and it's not any taller than 6 feet tall. It's just...
The fire and rebuilding, and they're seeing where the foundation is in relation to the road, probably, and somebody is right on that or just a bit over.
To as Commissioner Fowler mentioned, Slater Fire, home burned down. Home has been rebuilt. We would like to put a garage attached to the front of the house, which would encroach on the situation. Find a path to make it happen.
You've answered my questions. I guess I just have my DOGE on. So.
Well, it doesn't mean anything. So you and Mr. Hopp need to get together.
Yep.
And put together what you want.
I'll have a chat with him.
Yeah.
Just come to us once. It would get the whole thing done instead of...
Well, it saves time to...
Rachel's going to have to put more time in on it. I'm just trying to be efficient.
Yeah.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
No other comments, questions. Commissioners? I'll entertain a motion.
All right. I move that we adopt resolution PC 2024-026. Resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou and State of California approving the exception of Pine Place Road from the 50-foot setback requirement along County Roadways SP 2404.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Beal, seconded by Commissioner Hart. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify.
You're going to do a roll call because it's going to the board?
Ah, this is a roll call vote.
Commissioner Hart?
Yes.
Commissioner Veal?
Yes.
Chair Fowle?
Yes.
Thank you.
And the motion is approved. Items for discussion direction. Is this where we get to hear from Ms. Haley, or is Rachel giving us this update as well?
She gave me some information for you, but it's very brief.
Okay.
You know, it's up to you if you wish to have her comment via Zoom. Basically, all she said was that that there's not really a big update for the general plan. Other than that, we are working on updating visioning statement and guiding principles. So I don't know if you would like to have her add on to that.
Ms. Haley, do you have anything you would like to add since we have you virtually present?
90%.
Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead, we can hear you. Or not. Hold on.
She's green.
Hold on, Haley. Go ahead and talk.
Battery 90%.
All right, try again. Yeah, Haley, it's not a... We heard you for a second, and it's not working anymore.
She's
and
muted.
She muted herself. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll give it a, yeah, okay, she wants me to try to unmute.
Battery 90%. AUX audio.
She's off mute.
Yeah, she's off mute.
Audio.
Yeah, Haley, I'm sorry. We heard you for a second and then you cut out, but we'll just, hold on. We'll just try next month unless you have something specific.
Okay. I can wait until next month.
Okay. Yeah, Haley, we can't hear you at all.
Commissioners, any questions of Mr. Dean or Ms. Jarrett? Okay. All right, then we'll move on to item four. Next meeting is scheduled for December 18th. Correspondence, we had a letter on the Monte Shasta Mutual Water and Ms. Bonnie Wood comments she submitted regarding general plan. Staff comments.
So Haley had a comment and this is regarding the Shasta Way Road abandonment and the letter that we got from Ms. Luchakova Schwartz. And since they indicated that they want to build another driveway from their property and the Shasta Way abandonment would prohibit that, and as they are the other adjacent property owner to this road portion that's proposed to be abandoned, Public Works will not support this project to move forward. County Council suggested that the planning department informed the board that we will not initiate road abandonment proceedings and we will be recommending the project for denial.
Okay, that's
because
the one.
Of that comment.
Okay. So it's a good thing we continued it.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that when we got it.
Yeah. You may be receiving additional correspondence on that from the entirety of the subdivision, too. So
okay.
That's
okay. 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 That is good to know. Thank you. Any other staff comments?
Yeah, I'd like to comment. I attended the Shasta Scott meeting there, the hydrology and so forth, on Tuesday. Heads up, I guess you're well aware. But anticipating hydrologic events similar to 1997 to come in. So apparently we'll be having snow on rain event that's coming up, and to get some high water flows out of that. They went through the fish count also. time as of November 13th, the Scott River had a count of 557 Chinook, 142 Coho, which are all numbers, right? I asked to compare that to previous year, and they're below half of what was there last year. With the Shasta, 4,869 Chinook, 9 Coho, and same ratio.
Half.
Yeah.
The Chinook numbers are what are concerning. The Coho, they haven't really started their run yet until we hit December. So actually, the Coho numbers are looking good. The Chinook numbers, though, you guys were basically 50% of average and probably 70% lower of what should have been making it up. You should, but looking at past trends, you all should have been at close to 14,000.
We have to get that in 20 years.
Are you surprised that as much as it
you were at? You were at 13,098 three cycles ago.
I know, but I mean, it's about every 10 years that happens.
Yeah.
So it's.
But this was a year where you were supposed to have a bumper.
I know.
So were we. But so, the Coho numbers, though, I'm not as concerned there yet. I want to see what those numbers are before they stop.
Yeah.
Pull their videos out. But if we can, through mid-December, the water's better. I think they're. I've already seen eight of them go past our place just in 30 minutes. So.
Yeah.
Beautiful, too. Beautiful cone.
Yeah, so the counters are all pulled out through the higher flows right now.
The videos aren't, though, videos. Are they?
Right.
Oh, our
Chris
videos?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we're relying on two-legged observation and carcass counts now. Okay.
There's another note. Bogus Creek has received zero.
Other staff comments. Commission comments. Mr. Hart, you have a look of consternation.
So, what kind of feedback have you got from the Board of Supervisors about our joint meeting and our discussions? Good, bad, indifferent, proceed ahead, stop.
Yeah, I haven't had any feedback really other than you want a bullet point format. So we're working on that. Or is a division statement conversation. Yeah. And I do want to say something regarding that. So on behalf of the building department, so during that meeting it came up twice. Where there were conversations basically saying building permits are out a year plus. That is not the case. We're sitting around a month and have been for the last year and a half. So in public comment hearings, appreciated if we didn't continue that line of discussion. Because the public hears that and it's just, oh, I'm not even gonna go get myself a permit. We have focused on that hard and brought that time frame down to about a month. So, Board of Supervisors made a similar comment also. So, anyway, I nailed myself to the chair. Hopefully we will continue that trend. So far. Improved grade.
The buildings that I see really going on are in the City of Weed, where the fire went through.
Yeah.
And Shastina, but that's all pretty much, they're already done. I don't see any new starts going out
and,
there.
And the Shastina area is in our jurisdiction, most of the mill fires in the City of Weed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we have had almost close to a 300% uptick in permits for the building department.
Used to be you'd go to Meek's Lumber at 7 o'clock, you'd have to take a number. Now you walk in and you know.
Everybody's kind of under a standstill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just the cost of doing anything anymore. It's just crazy. I have a question about when projects come, you guys initially review it, this project we just did this morning, that should have stopped the project immediately right there and told the applicant, no, we can't go forward with this. Instead of going here like almost 2 years, different county offices going and doing things, spending money doing that, I hope that's all stopped and changed, that process.
He was a eye-opener for us, yeah. Have direction for our permit tech accepting these things, if there are conversations, issues, to get in touch with the senior planner or planner for the finalization of the course and then approval.
And so this, we have no discretion whatsoever about refunds or anything like
we don't
that.
See
that's,
refunds. That is,
that's somebody
that's staff and council.
Yeah.
But I concur with you, realizing, yeah, there's staff change and whatnot. There should be something on the wall when a use permit comes in, if it's vacation rental, location, does it meet proper size requirement? It should be number one, because that's an automatic, nope. It got missed, I get that.
Hey, it was a
we had one that took 2 years, the others have not. Yeah. Okay, we're doing okay, but still, that one, that should have been picked up early.
Yeah, so the new vacation rental process, that's something that is right up front on the application, that if they're in either the Weed, Mount Shasta, Dunsmuir, or McLeod area, they have to have 2.5 acres. It's very, very prominent, and it's because of people not knowing what the requirements are, and us, you know, having the workload that means that occasionally things get missed. So.
And I get it. At that particular time in 2019, with a moratorium about to be put in place, I'm sure there was a mad dash and you all had a stack of use permits trying to beat the deadline.
Yeah.
And yeah, it got missed, but still, one or two techs. What's the size? Where's it located? What's the acreage? Yeah. And it should have just been set aside. Nope. Okay.
You know, the consultant said that we're not going to grow. They're taking the advice of the California Department of Finance. That Siskiyou County was not going to grow. And I disagree with that. I think you're going to see growth. Not going to be large, not going to be a lot, but I think you're going to see steady growth in this county over time.
So a lot of the data that like the Department of Finance are looking at are pre-COVID when people were doing more work in the office, and now with remote work being much, much more common, I agree that I think future studies might show a shift from a decline to at least a maintaining or potentially an increase in population. Especially with the increase in the availability of internet to very remote areas in our county.
Yeah.
So that is something to keep in mind for future.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But all we can look at right now is the data that we have, which
is
all pre-COVID.
Yeah, and maybe they don't want to put the message out that we're not growing. I mean, but I think they know we're growing. It may not be registered people growing, but they're growing.
I know right where they're growing, too.
No pun intended.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I met a guy here about a month and a half ago. He'd only been here from Laos for about 30 days. I'm not sure whether he's documented or not. But.
Any other commissioner comments?
No.
Mr. Dean, I thank you for attending the landowner meeting. I think you got an eye-opening to see what some of the individuals in our area that we deal with on a daily basis Since then, were you privy to the subsequent email of apology and full-hearted support of the project that the individual sent at the end of last week?
I did not, no.
We had a meeting with both she and her two sidekicks, and the tribe raked her over the coal and said, do this again, all ties between us and you are severed. And we got about a 4.5 page apology letter, full-throated support of the project, no more issues.
Awesome.
So I wanted to relay that to you.
Sorry, I didn't get
it. We deal with that group, seems like, on a weekly basis.
Yeah. And that was an education for me, because I going into it, felt that they were all on board, right? This is another project.
We were all on board until all hell broke loose due to the blonde.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, no, that's moving back forward, and the individual just downstream is thumbs up on it, and especially potential impacts, and the tribe said, yep, reconstruction, we can work with you on there. So.
That's good, because
I'm probably
collaboration needs to be successful.
Yes, and I already told, I told Mr. Moore that likely I'm going to have to recuse myself if there's an amendment to that reclamation plan, because that doesn't look good. So we need to make sure that when that does come in, because it'll probably be pretty soon, since everybody's agreed on option B.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And we're actually having another meeting on the 25th, but it'll be option B, and so I'm sure there'll be a request for an amendment to that rec plan, and so we'll need to make sure that at least three other individuals are here that day.
Okay. And as you know, part of that is
we're going to need to make sure that the Board of Supervisor acts and gets this chair filled, because he's going to have to recuse himself also. Okay.
Because there's no conflict of interest other than perceived, and this is just a change of a reclamation plan.
Yeah.
It'll be an amendment to it, not the use permit. It'd be rec plan only.
If anybody has a heartburn about that, they're just crazy.
Okay.
Absolutely crazy with all the money that's being spent towards that effort.
Yes.
$500 million just got spent upstream here.
Yeah. We're a drop in the bucket.
Yep.
Commissioner Fowler, are you aware of a digital copy of that 3% document?
I can get one.
I have a physical copy.
I have probably 400 electronic pages of all of the engineering, but they're all individual. They're not in one document.
Okay.
Travis and DJ and Dustin, I'm one who's in the loop on all the steps, and so when something gets finalized, I get a copy. I do not have one. I've got probably 350 documents in one folder that are all on that project. So I might be able to get one if you need one.
If there's one, it's concise and together.
Okay.
Otherwise, don't worry about it.
I'll ask Michael. Michael will probably have access to it.
I just want to say thank you for your commitment and participation in all that. Because otherwise, after that meeting, I'm like, this is going over.
We rectified it in 3 days. I can talk to you later.
There's a bunch of pages and nobody's on the same one.
Everybody's on the same page again. So,
is that something that's coming before us?
The project won't. A piece of it, there'll be an amendment to a rec plan for Moore's Gravel that is a portion of the big project, but the project itself doesn't require coming before him. It's got its own CDFW, NOAA, Army Corps, North Coast Water Quality Control Board permits, etc., that it goes through. Alrighty, anything?
Well, congrats. You said you have a process now going forward.
Yes. Just had a meeting with Mr. Parker on that a day or two ago, dealing with Sigma.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an update I can give. But
so we have our guidelines. We're following them. The governor's orders basically dissolved a lot of that, so we're just
right.
focused on the public trust doctrine now.
Uh-huh.
The model is up and working.
Okay.
So, yeah, we just issued another one yesterday.
So is it county staff running the model, or is Larry Walker and Associates running the model?
Larry and Walker and Associates are running the model.
Okay.
Staff is making the determinations of based on the model.
Okay.
Whether or not what level of CEQA is met, right? So if we can find avenue to basically exempt CEQA, we're just following the notice of exemption. If it's going to be potential impact to public trust doctrine, then at some point in time we'll have to make the call. It's going to be full circuit evaluation for that.
So in that process, are they using imaging data in that model run?
I don't know exactly what they're using, but it's...
The reason I ask is I've got a bunch of...
The geology components are definitely different.
Right.
East
this side over here is just crazy. Oh,
yeah.
Here it comes.
Yeah.
Watermaster District had a good meeting with Mr. Parker and Laura and Owen or Olin?
Olin.
And Olin when he was here last week. The Scott side, we're in great shape. The model keeps getting better and better and better and more accurate, more accurate. We learned at that meeting last week that Larry Walker and Associates in their model, Carter model, were using State Water Board data as the basis. We eliminated that. We eliminated the imaging that was done by the tribe that was so inaccurate, because we proved it was inaccurate in Scott Valley.
But you're doing satellite imaging. I'm talking about actual ground imaging.
So, now the ground imaging is going to be included, and the water master, tonight, most likely the water master district is going to move forward with an MOU with the county to do a data sharing, and we're going to provide the last 10 years of data for diversion, surface water diversions. No names attached, it's gonna be by reach, protected just like we do with French Creek. And Laura and Owen are gonna put that into the model along with they're going to put a new gauge on Whitney. And what was the other one? For that, there are two in the uplands that they're adding. Then they want to put another one at the I-5 where there used to be one, put one back in there. And then there are going to be two additional that USGS are also putting in the main stem, and USGS arrived yesterday to start looking at sites.
Okay.
So the state information, which was completely off, is getting set aside, and the water master for surface water diversion is what's going to be used in the modeling.
Okay, so now you have another bigger problem coming next year. It's gonna be the TMDL flow requirement that's coming from the staff in Santa Rosa. On this side of the hill, where they're wanting 112 CFS coming out of Big Springs in the canyon.
Right.
So, and I don't know what they're going to come up with in the Scott.
So
these are flows or not. You can shut off all the wells everywhere, everybody's wells, and not meet that.
So what we heard through the grapevine is that the in-stream flow component of the two TMDLs will likely be delayed until the in-stream flow study has been finalized by state staff at the water board. and the two are going to get together to compare notes. That's what we last heard. I am aware of what you're talking about, but then when they heard, and this is talking to Matt, St. John, when he heard after the water hearing that it's a plan in place at the state level, not just regional, they're like, maybe we'll wait until they've conducted theirs.
That's a change in the last 7 days.
It came about on Friday, is when I heard that. So that one may actually be, brakes may be pumped on it a bit. So.
Okay.
See, we get to talk water.
Yeah.
Anything else? Anything else on the record, or do you want to talk
no,
after?
No, I'm not sure.
Okay.
No.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're adjourned. Thank you all.